Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is a Monday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1, 1 hour from now on a Monday. Colin was right. Colin was wrong. It is great to have you in. Miami bounced back the heat last night. Lakers will still win. Blah, 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 whatevs. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, you probably feel pretty good about that one.
I do feel good about it. It was guts. It was a gutsy win.
Yes. Moxie, guts, metal, yes.
It was fun basketball to watch, though.
It was. A little bit of a series. All right, let's start with the NFL. Let's start with the game that was on NBC last night. Carson Wentz lifting his team, Houdini'd it, and beat, San Francisco. So these were real questions this week asked by, I think, legitimate reporters. A reporter in San Francisco asked Kyle Shanahan, could Jimmy Garoppolo lose his job if he doesn't start winning, to Nick Mullins? Kyle Shanahan, of course, smirked and said, no. And another reporter on the other coast, I think he is fully employed, I would guess, asked Doug Peterson, could Carson Wentz lose his job because he can't win a lot with what you're giving him, which is junk? And Doug Peterson said, no, Carson Wentz is going to start. Both of those, of course, were answered last night. Sorry, neither Garoppolo or Wentz or Patrick Mahomes. There's only one of those, and there's only one Russell Wilson. But Nick Mullins last night had George Kittle, maybe the best tight end in football, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Jarrett McKinnon, a healthy offensive line, and they had to pull him. He couldn't, and Kyle Shanahan, the smartest young offensive coach, they had to pull him. Literally, you can't even move those guys. Carson Wentz, meanwhile, his leading receiver was Travis Fulgham, who played at Old Dominion. I love college football. I didn't know they had a football program. He's a practice squad guy. He also had John Hightower, Richard Rodgers, Greg Ward, and he goes on the road and wins with that. Garoppolo would have won last night. Wentz, if he had anything, would have more wins this year. Can we stop asking those questions? Carson Wentz in first place this morning. And for the third year in a row, he's dealing with absolutely nightmarish personnel. Offensive linemen hurt, wide receivers, six-round guys who went to programs I didn't know existed. And here's Carson Wentz on the road, just like last December, Philadelphia's in first place. It's actually, frankly, it's amazing. I'm watching that game last night. I'm like, he's going to pull this off. Carson Wentz is going to pull this off. San Francisco was missing a running back or two, but had the best tight end in football, legitimate star wide receivers, healthy offensive line. They didn't play terribly well, but nonetheless, they had to pull their starting quarterback. So if Carson Wentz's career was a cooking show, it would be called Chopped, because he has to take these weird, odd ingredients and make a meal out of it every week. And it's hard, and sometimes the meal is, but last night, he somehow made edible out of regrettable, and that's what he's done his entire career in Philadelphia, a city that's not very forgiving, where the pressure is enormous. And after the game, at least Doug Peterson, his coach, who played in the NFL at quarterback, at least he appreciates what Carson Wentz did last night.
He played inspired. He led the football team tonight for the win. I mean, and quite frankly, I mean, yeah, it might not have been perfect, but he gutted out several plays tonight, and my hat's off to him for just continuing to battle and continuing to stand in there and make some tough throws and some tough decisions. And he did a nice job.
We never consider in this league, it's amazing, we all understand that if I inherited a billionaire father and you inherited chaos in your life, you would understand that it's been easier for me than you if that was the case, right? Like, we understand that in real life. But in football, for quarterbacks, we never consider, Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid, good owners, great GM, Cheetah, Travis Kelce, a good offensive line. Now, Mahomes is great, but he's just driving a Mercedes here. Carson Wentz's car breaks down, and you're asking him to win a road race. This kid is a great young player. I think a little bit of it's in his head, but last night is what he does. First place with guys, sixth and seventh round guys who played in colleges at programs that I didn't know even existed. Let's talk Dallas Cowboys. They have two major problems in Dallas. They have an owner who only wants to hire a coach he can control. He had Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells. He couldn't control them, so Jerry didn't like them. So he hires coaches, Jason Garrett, now Mike McCarthy, he can control, that won't challenge him and push back. And then Mike McCarthy is a head coach, and this is a problem too. It's the same problem. He's not willing to hire an assistant coach or a coordinator that will threaten or challenge him. There's an old saying in business. It's called A's, as in A people, hire other A's. They're secure. B's, B bosses, B executives hire C's. People they can control, keep their thumb on, that won't threaten them or won't challenge them. And Mike McCarthy went out and, as a defensive coordinator, hired Mike Nolan, who'd been a linebacker coach for the Saints for years. Nobody was looking at him as a DC. He peaked 20 years ago with the Ravens. Easy to peak when you have Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. Mike Nolan is Jurassic. And all McCarthy has done, McCarthy's an insecure guy. And we talked about this at a press conference 2 weeks ago. McCarthy's become the old dad that buys skinny jeans so he can seem younger. He keeps going to press conferences and using like analytics jargon. And he calls Peter King, come interview me in my basement. All I'm doing is analytics. Old, outdated guy. Aaron Rodgers said he had a low football IQ. He was outdated. And he wanted to make sure everybody knew, I am Mr. Analytics guy. And so he drops jargon at a press conference. This is an owner who doesn't want to be challenged. Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells challenged Jerry. He didn't like that. He could control Jason Garrett, and he could control Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy hires Mike Nolan, who once hired him years ago. Kind of, you know, Mike Nolan's not getting the money and the jobs he wants, so he can control him. And this is the mess you get. Cleveland literally lost Nick Chubb to an injury and still rushed for 307 yards. There was 3.5 hours. Did they make any adjustments in Dallas? Literally, Cleveland got the edge anytime they wanted to for 3.5 hours, and Nick Chubb got hurt. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. No adjustments. Standing around, fooled badly on reverses. You don't have to be a football coach to see a well-coached team. You don't have to be a football coach to see a poorly coached team. But Mike McCarthy hired a defensive coordinator, and Jerry hired a coach who don't want to be challenged, who don't want to be threatened, and feel outdated. And what Cleveland did, this organization in Dallas is about people protecting their acreage, protecting their space, protecting their, you know, their title. And this is what you get. If you're not willing to challenge yourself in life, if you're not willing to hire people who may be smarter than you, every time you read a business book, what do they always say for the CEO? Hire somebody that's smarter than you, that can challenge you, that makes you rethink things. The last thing you want to do leading a company is hire people you can control who don't challenge you. Yes, men. Dallas is yes, men territory. This is a bad football team, and it's not getting worse. And it's not, listen, Baker Mayfield threw for well under 200 yards. They really didn't have to throw the football. They used a couple of tricks. They ran the football. It was not a complex game plan. You would know going into this game if you're Dallas, what are they going to do? What has Cleveland done so far this year? Limit Baker, run the football, one or two gadget plays. That's what they're doing. That's what they did. 3.5 hours, no adjustments. I mean, just because you're in Big 12 territory, Dallas, doesn't mean every one of your games has to look like a Big 12 football game. You could occasionally make a defensive stop. Mike McCarthy at least now acknowledging his defense and Mike Nolan is a major issue that's not getting better.
Definitely, we're in a scheme change from the prior scheme here, and we're not off to a good start. So the worst thing we can do is narrow everything down and be a one-call defense. I refuse to do that. That's not the path.
Well, this isn't either. Again, everybody in Dallas is protecting their turf, and the loser, of course, is Dak Prescott, who's throwing for 400 yards a game, but Dallas couldn't make stops. The games all look the same. They're coming. They fall into holes. They're coming back. And some of them are garbage yards, but they're yards. And Dak, it would be better if Dak was better early and the game plan was better. But, you know, the loser in this is Dak, who's going to set all sorts of Cowboy records and perhaps NFL records. But, you know, last team with the ball wins. You got to make some stops. Dallas did for about half a quarter. Cleveland broke it open late. And this is what you get. A franchise more concerned about not being challenged than being challenged, getting better and winning games. Coming up next, the single reason the Buccaneers got Tom Brady was on display, if you didn't watch, in that football game yesterday. That was the exact reason they got him. And I'll talk about that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rectech Grills with a Q.com, R-E-C-T-E-Q.com. Smart grill technology built by grillers for grillers. You can't go wrong, not just a grill, a lifestyle. Good to have you in. Top of next hour, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on a Monday, Peter Schrager in about 20 minutes from now, Joy Taylor around the corner. So Tom Brady, this yesterday was why they brought Tom Brady into Tampa. It's not about ability. It's about belief. The players stopped believing in Jameis Winston. Yesterday's first half looked like last year. Tampa was apathetic at home. They were a bad home team last year, 2-6. They were apathetic at home. They had a pick six. They trailed. They had the weapons but couldn't make it work. And after a slow start, didn't have sort of the maturity to bring them back. The second half, Tom Brady happened. Actual adjustments, scored on every possession, spread the ball to 9 different receivers, all 5 touchdown passes, 5 different receivers. That's not ability. That is belief. That is coaches listening to Brady at half. The defense suddenly for Tampa Bay got outstanding. They trailed 5 times last year at half. Only once could they muster the ability to come back. Jameis Winston in Tampa 5 years, never came back from 17 down in a division that had some bad teams. It's not like everybody they played was great. Chargers are not a bad team. Got a lot of talent defensively. Tampa Bay was down 17. That's not ability what you saw yesterday. That is belief that players believe in Tom Brady. By the way, Brady's been in 9 Super Bowls. He's not thrown a touchdown pass in any of them in the first quarter. How have his second halves been? Ask Atlanta and Seattle. He is the greatest comeback quarterback of all time. And it changes the defense, it changes the coaching, and it changes the belief system when you go down in half and you're getting your arse kicked at home. That game, first half, looked exactly like Tampa. They even had a pick six. It looked just like Tampa. And then Tom Brady happened. And Bruce Arians touched on this, is that it's so much of this organization, the only organization that's never had a, quote, Hall of Fame great quarterback in their history, so much of this organization, it's never been about talent. It's never been about coaching. They've had Tony Dungy. They've had Sam Weish. They've had Bruce Arians. They've had good coaches. They've had the Selmans. They've had great. They had Warren Sapp. They had Derek Brooks. They've had great players. They have great players now. But the belief system in Tampa has always been flimsy. And as Bruce Arians said afterwards, it no longer is.
It was just a show of character. What the second half was going to show, I can honestly say, had this been last year, we'd have got our ass beat by 20. This team has a ton of character and playmakers. And we started making plays. And you can see when we don't beat ourselves, we're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah. Listen, I covered this team. I was there. They always had good coaches. They always had good players. It was when everybody sort of bought in to, you know, Tony Dungy, and everybody bought in to Tony's defensive system, and it all kind of felt, you know, kind of started to feel right. And I mean, they've had Gruden, they've had Dungy, they had Bruce Arians, they have Sam White. It's never been a coaching issue in Tampa, and it's never been a talent issue. It's been a belief issue, and Brady's changed everything. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The heat is on, Colin.
Yeah, for at least a little while.
For a little while. I don't know how I'm gonna get to do this series. So there you go. There's the shimmy. It was a fun game last night, though. Jimmy Butler kept the Heat's title hopes alive in Game 3 against the Lakers. He finished with 40 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists, making him the 3rd player in NBA history to record a 40-point triple-double in the finals. But after the game, he said all he cared about was getting the win.
We won. I could care less about, you know, a triple-double. We played this game to win. I'm glad my teammates got a lot of trust and faith in me to go out there and hoop like that. But like I always say, if you guarantee me a win, I could care less.
He was extremely aggressive yesterday, which is kind of what we've been waiting to see from him. It's not that he wasn't aggressive in the first two games, but there was just a lot more going on in the first two games. Tyler Hero added 17 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. And LeBron had 25 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, also 8 turnovers, which was the most for any player in the game.
Yeah, LeBron didn't look terribly engaged early, and I thought AD kind of disappeared. But if this was not in the bubble, this would have been the game the Lakers went to Miami and lost anyway.
Yeah, which is why they're saying they're not overly concerned. Because, if this was normal life, you'd have played two games in L.A., which you're supposed to win, and then you go on the road to Miami, and you're supposed to lose that game. So this is the game the Heat should have won. Obviously, Jimmy Butler put together an incredible performance.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone else stepped up as well, and the Lakers were a little bit off. Look, this is a mismatch. I'm a Heat fan. I can say that.
Yeah.
It's very obvious in the first two games that it was a mismatch. Well, they're also still missing Goran and Bam.
And I think Goran's out.
Goran's going to be out, yes. He's not coming back, but, I mean, they're not officially saying that, but that injury, like, he's not going to make it back for this series. Bam is a little different. Bam might be available next game. He wanted to be at least dressed so that he could not have to wear a mask and root for the team on the sidelines. But it was a fun game because now it's a little bit competitive. And that's what we want.
Well,
in
now
this
we
series.
Have a, now now
we
it's
have a real
series.
Yes,
because I do think even if Bam comes back, I think we talked about this Friday. The issue with them now without Dragic is Butler can give you 35 a night, but you got to score about 110 to win. Where do you get the 75 points? And I think Bam's going to be limited offensively. Because
and throughout the series, someone has stepped up every game to do that. But the difference is now they can do that, but you also have to be able to be a factor on defense.
Yes.
And some of those guys are not a huge factor on defense. And it's not, I mean, Tyler Hero is a rookie. Like
that's right.
You shouldn't be relying on Tyler Hero in that situation. But they all stepped up yesterday and a good win for the Heat. So Joe Burrow got his first win in the NFL Sunday. He made history while doing it. He became the first rookie quarterback in the NFL to throw for 300 or more yards in 3 straight games. But he also says winning is what's most important.
We got the win. That's all I care about. You know, the last two, we didn't win. So feels good to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win football games. Like I said, I'll throw it 0 or 100 times. I'll throw it for 7 yards or 500. Doesn't matter to me.
He was 25 of 36, 300 yards, one touchdown, one
interception. Got a little bit of a running game yesterday. So they actually gave him, first time this year, he had help. And when he had help, he won.
Yeah, Joe Mixon had 25 carries for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Also added 6 receptions for 30 yards and a touchdown as well. Kind of taking a little downturn for the Jags over the past 2 weeks.
Well, I think it reminds me of Kyle Allen. So Kyle Allen last year had a nice little month. Everybody's like, franchise! And everybody gets film on Gardner Minshew or Kyle Allen, and you're like, there's some limitations on what they can do in arm strength. And there are no limitations for a real franchise quarterback. Justin Herbert, he's got a big-time arm. He's in Joe Burrow. So the difference is you can win games in this league, but once everybody gets film on you, you know, Fitz magic yesterday. Like you needed one big play late, and then he throws a pick. Like, you can't – we know what a franchise quarterback kind of feels and looks like. There's a dynamic component. Burrow's got it. I don't think Minshew really is that guy.
I don't know that I'm – completely bailing on Minshew yet. It is still Jacksonville, so you know, maybe they strung together a couple good performances and now they're starting to come back down to earth. It doesn't necessarily mean it's his fault. He also has been sacked 7 times in the last 2 games, so that adds to it as well. But when you're losing to the Dolphins and the Bengals, it's kind of starting to all get put in perspective. But congrats to Joe Burrow on his on his first NFL win. So the Bills keep their red hot start going against the Raiders this weekend, another team that's kind of come down to earth after a big Monday night.
By the way, they've faced two of the best defenses, New England, Buffalo, back-to-back.
Like,
Buffalo's a real football team.
Yes, they won the game 30-23 to remain undefeated this year. It's the first time in 12 years that the Bills have started 4-0.
Wow.
They're averaging 30.75 points per game, which is tied for 5th best in the league. And Stephon Diggs, has that situation worked out? 6 receptions for 115 yards. Josh Allen was 24 of 34, 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and added a rushing touchdown as well. Things have really just come together for for the Bills. I thought the Bills would be good this year. Like, we talked about it leading up into the season, and mostly before Cam Newton got there as well, that this was a team that was going to win.
Yeah, I think I picked him to win their division. The question is ceiling.
Yes, and they've looked spectacular.
Yeah, and Josh Allen doesn't have a ceiling. So if you're in Buffalo today, I watched every snap of this game, and they have the coaching, the quarterback, and the defense. You could win a Super Bowl with this team. Now, are you going to get past Lamar? Are you going to get past? But you could win. They have the elements needed to win a Super Bowl.
Well, coaching, that's my question with them. I was never concerned about whether they were going to be good during the regular season.
Right.
What are you going to do in the playoffs? Because obviously, having a nice regular season is important because you do want to get to the playoffs. But what are you going to do when you're there? And that's obviously similar to Lamar. The next step in the development for both these young teams.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
We don't get Schrags much on a Monday, so we love it when we do. Peter Schrager, Fox NFL reporter. He's really, really good. Fox NFL Sunday as well. Joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Let's start with last night. It's the classic Carson Wentz, where I love this kid, but I feel like I'm shouting at a mountain of critics. And I this morning I wake up and I'm like, they're tied for first. They've got nothing but injuries. Your takeaway on what you saw?
This is just one of those heroic performances from Wentz. And it's, to me, the guys he was working with. We make all these excuses for the Jets that they don't have the talent. This pass here is to Travis Fulgham, a player out of Old Dominion who was cut already by the Lions and the Packers. He was huge. They had big plays all night from guys named John Hightower and guys named Alex Singleton. And Wentz and Peterson found a way. And, like, that's what winners do. Last year, Wentz had all these injuries, and he found Greg Ward and Boston Scott and Josh Perkins. The Eagles have been stung by injury. Jordan Mailata is playing on the offensive line. Jordan Mailata is an Australian rugby player who had never picked up a football until 3 years ago and is blocking Carson Wentz's blind side. So whereas we make excuses for a lot of these other quarterbacks and say they don't have the talent around them or – things have just not gone their way. Wentz finds a way when it matters most. And even last week in that loss to the Bengals, where everyone was saying, we should put in Hurts, That final drive, Wentz was really good. Yep. He made things happen. So they don't have Jalen Reagor or DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey. They've got Travis Fulgham making big plays. And Wentz isn't looking to get any excuses or have to hear any of that stuff. He just finds ways to win. And you're right. This morning you wake up and the Eagles – here we are, first place.
You know, Dallas, and I said this to start my show, is that there's an old saying, A's hire A's and B's hire C's. And Jerry had coaches who challenged him, Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, and Jerry didn't like it. Mike McCarthy's out of work. He's not going to challenge him. And then Mike McCarthy hires a guy that he owes a favor to, Mike Nolan. And I watched that defense yesterday. It was 3.5 hours of what appear to be no adjustments. I mean, panic's the wrong word. But Mike McCarthy after the game was pretty dour, and he wasn't a week ago. Are Dallas's defensive issues solvable at this point?
Do you want to know the sick irony of all this? And Cowboys fans, you can throw the phone or throw the radio if you're listening. Do you know who was a Dallas defensive assistant all those years under Jason Garrett and never got the opportunity to be a defensive coordinator? Matt Eberflus. You know who that is? That's the defensive coordinator of the Colts, who are number one in defense across the board. Never got a shot in Dallas to be the guy. And here we are with the Mike Nolan, redemption tour. Mike Nolan, like, that was the best. And Mike McCarthy, it is. This defense is atrocious, Colin. Atrocious. They're bad up front. They get nothing from Everson Griffin, nothing from any of those big boys. The linebackers don't even show up on film. Jalen Smith got this big contract extension, has done nothing. And it might be the worst defensive backfield in all of football. Other than that, they're great, though. Other than that, they're wonderful.
Yeah. I mean,
that's how bad the Dallas defense is. They don't even give them a shot to win games. And the craziest thing is, the best defensive coordinator in the league right now, Matt Eberflus, was in-house for many, many years with the Dallas Cowboys.
Isn't that amazing? Young star, defensive, rising coach. Dallas didn't give him a shot. They went old school, guys. Brutal. And the Colts defense, by the way, is a real deal. So you've always had great contacts around Brady and in Tampa. And it was really funny. I watched that first half and I thought, oh my God, this is Tampa. They even had a pick six. It looked so much like Tampa. Lethargic at home. They were a bad home team. And then Brady happens. And I thought to myself, this is what, it's never been about ability. It's belief. And I felt Jameis lost the room last year. Like, guys were just done playing hard. What did you make of old Tom, halftime, new Tom, and what you saw?
It actually started a little bit before halftime, 24-7 in their own building, losing to a rookie quarterback. Brady was starting a game in 2000. Justin Herbert was being born. He was 2 years old. Like, that's how crazy this was. And Ndamukong Suh knocks the ball out of the Chargers running back's hand. Devin White recovers, and you get a little momentum, and then Brady takes it from there. The old Buccaneers, Colin, I mean the last 15 years Buccaneers, they're down 24-7 to a rookie quarterback in their building. They get in the fetal position. They go in the corner, and they lose that game at home, and that's just what it has been. Brady, Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, there are winners on this team, guys that have been to the Super Bowl, guys who have won Super Bowls. It's a different feeling, and you're right. Jameis put up a ton of yards, and maybe Jameis would have led the league in passing yards under Bruce Arians this year. That's fine. Jameis wouldn't have won that game yesterday. He just wouldn't have. It just wasn't in the DNA of what this team was under Jameis. Tom Brady throws to 10 different receivers. He throws the deep ball. Unlike Drew Brees, Brady's arm looks pretty yep. strong right now.
Yeah.
And they're getting production from a lot of different guys who you didn't expect, including this guy, Keyshawn Vaughn. Heck of a play. Maybe the best play we've seen from a Keyshawn in Tampa in at least 20 years.
That's right. Peter Schrager joining us. Great NFL reporter for Fox. So, you know, through the years, I was critical of Cam, but I told my team this morning, we were prepping, Cam's a star. And if you want to know how Cam's a star, yesterday it was kind of a choppy day in the NFL. I would have died for New England against Kansas City Mahomes Cam. Tonight with Brian Hoyer, it is almost... I may have to remind myself they're playing. And this is where Cam is really something. The power of Cam and the power of a star. The power of belief system. I know Cam tonight. This game feels like completely unwinnable. And I honestly, I didn't make it a pick, but I felt like, oh, Cam's going to be a nightmare for Kansas City. So give us a little update. Some people, I'm one of them, were like, why are we moving the game to Monday? There's... one Patriot tested, no Chiefs. Can you give us a little backstory on why we ended up playing them tonight?
Yeah, the last 48 hours have been wild. The true reasons are this. There's two big things why this game was postponed today and why the Falcons last week, when A.J. Terrell, the cornerback, was the one positive test, there wasn't. Two things. One, Cam Newton's a quarterback, and he has been in contact with 25 different people, touching the ball, of course, but even in rooms. And like, A.J. Terrell was an isolated case. He was a cornerback, wasn't dealing as many people as Cam. The second thing is, they're the visiting team, so you had to be really extra cautious, especially in light of what happened with the Titans this week and what happened in Washington, D.C., and just the national talk about COVID-19. They said, let's give this another day. Thankfully, there were no more positive tests over the last few days. But just think about the uphill battle that the Patriots have right now. As we are speaking, they are landing in Kansas City on two different planes, one of them with people who've been near Cam Newton. Seriously, two different Robert Kraft-owned planes. One of them is like the Cam bubble. It's all the 20 people who have been near Cam Newton in the last 2 weeks or last week. And then there's the rest of the guys in another plane. They're getting on buses. They're driving to the stadium. They're putting on their uniforms in the locker room. And then Brian Hoyer is going to go lead them against maybe the best team in all of football on the road in Arrowhead, where there will be fans. Like, this is a huge uphill battle. They're traveling the day of the game with Hoyer under center against a team that has now had 7 days to prepare with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. I think Bill Belichick's a genius. You and I respect the heck out of him, and I think McDaniels can dial things up. I don't see how the Patriots can possibly feel like they're going to walk into this building and come out with a W, and yet it's 2020. The world is upside down. Who knows? Maybe they find a way.
So Joe Burrow's looked great. Justin Herbert has really – they've got to be giddy in the Chargers.
Oh, they are.
I wonder – I'll just throw this at you. Is it Tua time in Miami now, Schrags?
It might be. Tua wasn't feeling so hot this week, so he wasn't even going to be in the conversation. And everyone does their annual September flips over the big game that Ryan Fitzpatrick has, whether it be beating the Saints a few years ago for the Bucs or as a Jet beating some – like yesterday, like you said in the update with Joy, like it came back down to earth a little bit here. This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, couldn't make the big play at the end, and Tua is the man. I think in the next few weeks they've got to think long and hard before this season gets out of their grips. 1-3 right now. Maybe it's not this week, but maybe as we progress towards October and November, it's time to go to Tua and just see what he's got.
Yeah, totally agree. Peter Schrager, continued success, buddy. Love having you on the show on a Monday. Thank you so much.
Love you, Colin. You're the best, man. Thanks to you. Enjoy.
You bet. By the way, I'll just give you an update. It's not a terrible time for Tua, by the way. So they're at San Francisco. This is not the defensive front of last year. DeForest Buckner's gone. Bosa's hurt. Then it's at Denver. Von Miller's out. Then they get the Chargers and Rams at home. It's not a terrible space to be in. This is not, you know, you're not going up against, you know, first game of the year. It's in New England with Belichick. The rookies don't fare well there. Then, you know, yesterday it's Pete Carroll's defense. It's Russell Wilson. It's a big stage. These are, you know, non-national television games, a couple at home. To me, it feels like two a time. That's what it feels like to me. Coming up next, the true measure of greatness is often how do you elevate average? I talked about that with Carson Wentz. Thoughts on Russell Wilson and what I saw yesterday. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player in the league do this, what he did yesterday, and that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Colin, we had a Super 6 jackpot winner yesterday. Paula from Nevada needed the Rams to beat the Giants by 7, 8, or 9 points to get a perfect 6-for-6, and L.A. ended up winning by 8. So that's not a bad start to your week, winning 100 grand off of Terry Bradshaw. So huge congrats to her. Make sure you get your picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app.
It was a crazy weekend. I have a friend who's a very, very good gambler. He does it for a living. He had a terrible Sunday. I talked him into taking the Bills. He liked the Raiders. And I'm like, Buffalo was my two or three picks I liked. I liked the Dolphins and I liked the Bills. And he had both of them. And they thank God Buffalo won for him. But I have a couple of buddies who do this for a living. They're really into it. They're really smart. And yesterday was a crazy day. So Paula, congratulations.
Congrats.
It was not an easy week to win. It was the wise guys were getting shredded yesterday. So I've said this before, is contextualize it. I've defended Carson Wentz forever. Last 3 years, he's dealing with nothing. And I love Patrick Mahomes, but he's gotten a lot of breaks in the perfect setting and the perfect coach and the perfect weapons. Here's a great example of Russell Wilson. So they play Miami yesterday. Brian Flores is a very good defensive coach from the Bill Belichick tree. And they went out and spent money on the defensive side. But Miami's got some limitations at quarterback with Fitzmagic. But here's Russell Wilson. Let's start with David Moore. David Moore is a seventh-round pick from East Central University. They can't even get their directions right. Very marginal wide receiver talent. But he always seems to be open with Russell Wilson. Isn't that funny how it works? Always seems to be open with Russell Wilson, the seventh-round wide receiver talent. There's running back Chris Carson is also a seventh-round running back. That means all the teams in the NFL. Everybody loves seventh-round running backs because you don't have to pay them anything and nobody wants to pay a running back. It's funny with Chris Carson. He's now a top 10 running back with Russell Wilson. And then there's DK Metcalf, who is a project, a muscle-bound project, a second-round pick. And he now leads the NFL in receiving yards. He was a project. He was the guy that dropped in the draft. He looked great without his shirt on, but everybody was like, he didn't really run the route. He's now leading the NFL in receiving yards. The O-line ranked 29th in the NFL by Pro Football Focus before the year, is slightly better than that, so he's not getting help there. And, oh, by the way, Seattle is fifth in yards in the NFL and second in points. Does everybody understand that? Like, this is not a shot at Mahomes. It is not. But he is doing it with seventh-round receivers. And I said this for years. Doug Baldwin was his top receiver. He was undrafted. Will Disley was a blocking tight end in college. Not with Russell. He can catch passes. Tyler Lockett was a gadget receiver at Kansas State. He was considered, he'll be a cute little gadget guy. Now Russell and Tyler Lockett last year, I think, were the most accurate quarterback receiver combo in the NFL. There are no DeAndre Hopkins here. There are no Calvin Johnsons. There are no Randy Mosses. This is just a guy. And this is whenever, and this is not a shot at Aaron Rodgers, but when I hear Aaron Rodgers, you know, I wish I could get more of this and more of that. No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about you need more of this. You as a quarterback, Carson Wentz showed you again last night, a franchise quarterback doesn't need constant elevation. You have to be somewhat self-reliant. I'm watching Jerry Seinfeld on 60 Minutes, the tape of that this morning. And Seinfeld had, both his parents were orphans. And they said, Jerry, was that weird to grow up as a kid when both your parents are orphans? And he said, well, I had to be, because they were orphans, they had to be self-reliant. My parents never taught me how to grab a fork. They didn't know where my school was my whole life. He goes, you become incredibly self-reliant. When your parents are orphans, and you become their kid, like they've had to be self-reliant. They're not into teaching you. They were just trying to survive. And there's a little bit of that to Russell Wilson. He's not reliant on the – he's got a defensive head coach. He's had bad offensive line coaches who they fired a couple. He has a below-average O-line. He's got seventh-round running back wide receivers, blocking tight ends. You can't – in life – you can't whine and be a victim on everything. At some point, you just gotta elevate stuff around. You gotta do it. What's the best thing you've got, and you've got to elevate it. That was a tough game yesterday to win. Furthest point in the NFL to travel is Seattle to Miami. It was the wise guy's pick of the week was Miami. It was my favorite pick of the week. But beyond that, it looked like a really tough game for Seattle. They come off an emotional win. Then you go down to little old Miami. They have no pass rush. So that means that Russell Wilson has the pressure of having to score massive points every Sunday. And what do you know? They've scored over 30 every week this year. He just tied Peyton Manning's mark with 16 touchdowns through four games. It's incredible when you look at what he's doing it with. I mean, I know these guys are good enough to be NFL players, but it is pretty remarkable. Let's go back to Tua time in that game. And this is the thing with Tua time. It is time. There's a couple of reasons it's Tua time. That game was kind of classic. Fitz magic becomes Fitz tragic, which is the second they needed him to make a play, he couldn't at the end of the game. They had to settle for field goals. There's a lot of reasons it's Tua time. Number one is you don't have to play the Patriots. You don't have to open with Belichick. The schedule now for Miami is much more workable. It's also, you didn't have a preseason with Tua, but you've had four games. It's a little bit like preseason, a lot of snaps. The second thing is you've had another month to get healthy. That was always a question about, that was always a question about Tua, his health and his hip. The other thing is that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert have walked into this league and been fantastic. Not winning all their games, but have looked fantastic. So there is some sort of, remember, that Tua was better than Burrow and Justin Herbert on average through his college career. So my takeaway is this. Now is the time to play Tua, even if he's not quite ready. I've said this before. When you take a job, you shouldn't be totally ready for it. You got to bail water. That'll tell me if you can handle yourself. Put Tua in. If he struggles, if he feels overwhelmed, never forget, Miami is a rebuilding franchise. So if Tua struggles, here's the good news. Miami will not only have potentially their own top 10 NFL draft pick, they have Houston's 0-4. So this is a franchise. Let's put him out there. Let's go see him for 10 straight weeks. Burrow has looked great with a terrible offensive line. Justin Herbert was given 5 minutes to start against Patrick Mahomes and now has started against Brady. He has looked excellent in both games. So Burrow and Justin Herbert, those two franchises know, even if they don't win a lot of games, we don't have to take a quarterback with next year's pick. Miami's going to have two, their own top 10 potentially, and Houston's top 10 absolutely. And if Tua looks overwhelmed, you go draft another quarterback. I mean, that's what Arizona did. That's the world we live in now. And you say, how could you bail on him? I haven't seen him yet. But there's no use. You're already three games out of first, four games in. Your division's too good. Buffalo and New England are two of the top four teams, minimum, in the AFC when Cam's healthy. Play him. If he looks overwhelmed, maybe you have to move off him. He had some critics. I liked him out of college. I thought he was an A-minus prospect, B-plus, A-minus. But if you whiffed on him and he can't play, boom, go get another guy. He was one draft pick. That's okay. You don't have to give any more up. You got Houston's. Take another quarterback. And by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick was on with Peter King last week. He knows the situation he's in. He understands the game here. Here's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Job security, really, for my whole career, it's a week-to-week proposition, and I've got to go out there and prove it every single week. But with Tua, just being able to slow down sometimes, to be able to take the extra minute to explain something in my thought process, or to sit on the bench during a game and instruct and talk and answer questions, that stuff is maybe a little bit different than, you know, how it would go normally, but I know what my role is, and I know that I'm keeping the seat warm for him.
By the way, this is very much Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Tyrod Taylor probably doesn't want to admit it, but it's a little Tyrod Taylor to Justin Herbert. It's a matter of time. Flacco didn't want to give his job out to Lamar. That is different. But this is the perfect situation. This is Alex Smith knowing Mahomes is the guy. It's a first-round quarterback. I can help mentor, be a really good teammate. It'll help me in the long run. it's Tua time. We've had Fitz magic. It became Fitz tragic. They settled for field goals. The bad pick late. Let's move on. Sink or swim. And if Tua struggles, you're going to have potentially two of the top seven or eight picks. Get another one. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong next.